Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. Interviews, news, and views. You're listening to State of the Nation with Brian McClain, Dan Mitchell, and Lynn Shaw on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome to State of the Nation. This is Lynn Shaw coming to you live from New York City, along with Brian McClain in Texas and Dan Mitchell somewhere out there on assignment via TNT Radio. Today's news talk, tntradio.live. Please call in. Our lines are open. We want to hear from you. The numbers on the website and also in the breaks. Thank you for joining us. April 11th marks the four-year anniversary of the arrest of journalist and publisher Julian Assange. Join activists and supporters from around the country from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Department of Justice on the corner of 10th and Pennsylvania in Washington, D.C. to demand the charges against him be dropped. What's happening to Julian Assange is happening to all of us. It's the criminalization of truth. The world is watching and the tide is turning. Journalism is not a crime. Yesterday was a very sad day for America. Where are all the Republicans? Where are all the decent Democrats? What is going on here? Welcome, Brian. What do you have to say about that?
I don't know, Lynn. It's so ridiculous. I mean, we are familiar with so many attorneys. We have colleagues that are attorneys, people that visit the show that are attorneys. We cannot find anyone, political commentators, pundits, none of our colleagues. And we endeavor to have a wide range of colleagues with diverse political thoughts and analyses. We cannot find any professionals that support this or say this is a good idea or there's a precedent for it. In fact, quite the opposite. And I think today's show will illustrate that quite well.
Absolutely. We have a headline saying Trump's indictment rests on this bizarre legal theory with major flaws. And I think you have a soundbite for us.
Indeed.
In my 60 years of practice, which has so many holes in it, start with the statute of limitations. It's 7 years before he committed the crime. The New York State statute says the only exception for that is if his whereabouts were unknown. I have to tell you, even Bragg could have found him. He was in the White House. He's the easiest. And he was out in New York. Well, there are photographs of him at his house on the street. He was not continuously out of New York. I don't see how you can twist and turn to make the statute of limitations disappear. And then you have all the other. How many holes are there? Shall I count the ways to count the, quote, the poet? I have never seen a weaker case. And in the end, I really do think Bragg is worried about his own bar card. I think he's worried that if he brings this case and he uses a witness who he has to know is lying, there are going to be investigations of him, and there should be investigations. He holds an office that was held by Bob Morgenthau, Frank Hogan, some of the great prosecutors in history, and he is disgracing that office by bringing this case.
This is third world tactics right now. The indictment of former President Donald Trump, reportedly handed down by a Manhattan grand jury, is sealed. So we don't know the precise legal charges against the president. However, and yes, I do call him president, but we'll leave that for another program. However, a lot of leaks to the media from sources within the district attorney's office. We can draw some conclusions that District Attorney Alvin Bragg has cobbled together a novel, a very bizarre story, a legal theory of intertwining offenses. It's doubtful his case can withstand judicial scrutiny, assuming the judge who presides over the matter is objective and neutral. And Brian, that's what I'm worried about in a very blue city, New York City, in a blue state, New York State, and a jury pool. I think we need to move this if we go to trial. What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it shouldn't go to trial. This is just a continuation of the enormous waste of media space, of legal resources, of money. I mean, at what point do we all accept, whether you're on the right, on the left, independent, libertarian, center right, center left, anarcho, whatever, DGAF, even if DGAF is your political lean, at what point can we all say, okay, wait a minute, they lied about the Russian interference. They lied about all this other stuff. They wasted all our time with the Mueller investigation. They tied up our Capitol Hill to the tune of, I don't even know how many tens or hundreds of millions of dollars of people's man hour and legal time, when our culture was just being completely degraded and we're being polarized and atomized all against each other, hyper-polarized. I mean, even the tribals, even the tribes have fractured. Right now, look at the LGBTQIA tribe. It is no longer one tribe. It's now a subset of tribes that cannot figure out how to get along. I would argue that this is the goal, and that these show trials are a big part of that, the hyper-political polarization initiative that we're all being exposed to.
Yes, complete weaponization. And I say go to trial, because didn't we just report yesterday that they were taking a month off and they were going to stand down for a month? And then sure enough, all of a sudden this indictment comes through. So I don't trust anything that is coming out of any media outlet. I don't trust anything coming out of DA Alvin Bragg's office. And I think this is going to be a big show. And I think they are going to keep Donald Trump tied up forever, perhaps the rest of his life, with different legal things, and just keep going and going at it. And, you know, we're going to have a lawyer, Lionel, join us in a little while to explain and break it down for us legally. But this is shocking. And again, and you pointed it out, Brian, nobody is going along with this. Nobody likes this. And at least the American public, some of them are beginning to wake up and really understand just how critical and crucial all of this is, and how illegal all of this is. So if there's anything that is good about any of this, more people are coming together and saying, what is going on here? And all I want to say is Bill Clinton with Paula Jones, he paid her $850,000, and I'll leave it at that.
There you go.
For all the latest community events, rallies, marches, festivals, and fundraisers happening near you, visit the What's On events calendar on TNT Radio website at tntradio.live. Stay in touch on TNT Radio.
Catch the news on the go.
I listen on the way to work.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Critics of Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg have often labeled him as a Soros-funded DA, implying that the well-known billionaire and self-described philanthropist George Soros has some sort of influence over Bragg. But according to Soros, that's fake news. Here with the story, joining us now, is TNT Radio news producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus.
Thanks, Lynn. He didn't necessarily call it fake news, but he basically did. That's what he's saying, is it's not true. Not only is it not true, he says he doesn't even know the dude. George Soros says he neither knows DA Alvin Bragg, nor did he contribute to his election campaign. The billionaire financier responding to question as to what he thought about the Soros-funded DA label often slapped on Bragg by his critics. Soros told Semaphore that he did not contribute any money to Bragg's election campaign and doesn't know him, while responding to a question about his thoughts on supporters of former Trump linking Soros to Trump's unprecedented indictment. Soros replies, quote, "I think some on the right would rather focus on far-fetched conspiracy theories than on the serious charges against the former president," end quote. Soros has contributed significantly to the Color of Change PAC, which endorsed Bragg in his campaign for Manhattan District Attorney in 2021, and which pledged more than $1 million on an independent expenditure campaign to support Bragg. I guess that's by proxy then. Soros spokesperson Michael Vacon told CNN recently that while Soros and Democracy PAC, a PAC to which Soros has donated money, jointly contributed $4 million to the Color of Change PAC, Vacon insisted, however, that none of those funds were earmarked for Bragg's campaign and that, quote, "there has been no contact between the two," end quote. In his remarks to Semaphore, Soros pointed to an op-ed he had written explaining why he's donated to reform-minded prosecutors, as he calls them, and why he has no intention of stopping. Quote, the funds I provide enable sensible reform-minded candidates to receive a hearing from the public. Judging by the results, the public likes what it's hearing, end quote. Okay. Many, especially those on the right, would disagree that Soros' investments in political activism are music to their ears. We've been hearing it a lot, the whole Soros funded, we say this about so many people and so many things, but this is a nice reminder to me that anyone actually check and make sure that that's true. It appears in this case that, yeah, there might actually be some links, even though he's not directly associated with it. As I mentioned, this could be, they'll just have to, maybe they should correct the label to going from Soros funded DA to funded by Soros via proxy DA. There we go.
Look, we know, we have the proof that close to 100 DAs across the United States are funded through the Open Society Foundations or any of these PACs associated with it. Now, I find it very curious that this is the first time George Soros, to my knowledge, has said anything about any of this. He's never said anything before. I also find it very curious that DA Alvin Bragg, he hasn't said anything about it. He hasn't denied it. He hasn't confirmed it. Just nothing. And if you look, again, to my knowledge, none of these DAs, it falls just under 100 across the United States, have really said anything about George Soros, Open Society Foundation, none of it. So I'm very, why now? What's going on? That's what I have to say.
Yeah, it's very telling. The fact that, you know, we're seeing this right now says a lot. So this article or this public statement by Soros's representative, and when he says stuff like this, it's preying on the audience's lack of understanding of the machinations of the NGO industrial complex. That's the problem here. Many people do think that NGOs are a organization of philanthropy. They are not organizations of philanthropy. They are political cudgels, is what they are. They're money and power generating and consolidating machines, and they have very dubious ties to places like the CFR and other organizations. If you look at the Open Society, it was founded in 1993, and it has become the hub of the Soros-funded networks, but there are more than 20 national and regional foundations, making it one of the largest political, quote-unquote, philanthropies in the world. And they're all built on Soros's anti-capitalist, redistributionist political philosophy. And these organizations give away nearly $1 billion per year to left-wing organizations, even more now, to advance his vision of an open society. And if once you start peeling the layers back on all that and you start looking at the millions of dollars that have been pumped into Planned Parenthood, Robin Hood Foundation, Tides Foundation, Brennan Center for Justice, Alliance for Citizenship, ACLU, all these places, tons and tons and tons of money and influence going into them. It's absolutely amazing. So what they do is they prey on people not knowing that, and then they can, those are the same people that recoil to the pejorative of, you know, quote unquote conspiracy theorist, but it enables them to operate in this way, as Ruckus said, by proxy. So they can say, oh, well, we didn't have anything earmarked for that guy. We don't know that guy, but these proxies are what facilitate the whole thing. So yes, we are guilty of just throwing the term out there, Soros funded sometimes, but there's a lot of research behind it when you say that. And I'm afraid that some people, like standard Fox viewers out there, have not done that research. And I know that most liberal people have not done that research, and non-political people have not done that research. And that takes the context out of what we're actually talking about.
And it's also, again, you know, I'll use the word sound bites. And you mentioned, Brian, it's like they'll hear a sound bite on Fox News. Doesn't that sound great, everybody? Like Robin Hood, you know, Foundation, and even ACLU, which at one time, years ago, was a decent organization. But I will tell you right now, everything that is benefiting people and children. They have their lawsuits lined up. They are fighting tooth and nail. Anything with sex trafficking, anything with sex offender registries, they are right there fighting it all. I'll also point out that George Soros's son, Alexander, runs the day-to-day operations. George Soros, of course, it's his money, but he's what, 99, 100 years old? Son and his wife are very involved in all of these things, you know, kind of the toast of New York City, always at these events and things. And people love them, right? Everybody loves money, all these organizations. So nobody's really digging behind what's going on. Like you said, the little soundbite from Fox News, maybe Newsmax, and they're not understanding the evil behind all of this. And listen, it's working, right? Look what they're getting away with. Right? Think about this. And I feel like in a short amount of time lately, they're really getting away with all of this. It's our job to educate them, Brian. What's really going on?
Yeah, it's crazy. And I'll give you an example. Here's another current headline. This one's just out. This is the headline as stated at Fox News. And this is why it gets easy for people to attack. And then we've got a lot of these other organizations out there gaslighting people and telling them that if you use this language, if you use this descriptor, you're anti-Semitic. They're trying to put a race card in there when we're talking about money, politics, and power. We're talking about principles and power here. But here's what Fox puts out. Soros-backed California DA floated gang members accused of killing toddler out of jail. So this is the way that Fox does it. And Fox, as far as I can tell, aside from maybe a special report here or there, never really describes what Soros-backed means, and it just sort of wedges everybody apart. You've got people on one side saying, oh, that's a racist conspiracy theorist talking point, and that's what Fox and Republicans are. And then, you know, on the right, you've got people that may or may not understand what Soros-backed actually means, but they can't talk to those people on the left. So there's the wedge.
And I also, final thought, I also think, you know, we use Soros, we have the proof, we know about open society. I think we also use the name as a shorthand. We know there are a lot of players behind the scenes that are involved in all of this. And I'll leave it at that. Ruckus, anything else for us?
Yeah, we just want to be careful about being critical of Soros, because according to the Anti-Defamation League, that makes us anti-Semitic. So be careful, people. Have a good one.
I'm just going to throw in one thing. My friend Roseanne made a comment about Soros, and I think we all know what happened to Roseanne Barr. Thanks, Ruckus. You're listening to State of the Nation, today's News Talk TNT Radio.
Jesse Zerwell on TNT Radio.
Gulf willingness to restore relations with Syria has increased over the past year and accelerated further following February's devastating earthquake, which struck both Syria and Turkey.
Let's give them the benefit of the doubt, even though, again, the idea that, oh, well, the UAE and Saudi Arabia, out of their goodness of their own heart, since Syria had this devastating earthquake, they maybe started initiating rehabilitating Syria and bringing it back into the fold. But I'm pretty sure there are a lot of people who are dedicated to fighting for something that has now been abandoned by the Syrian government, if they're going to embrace, along with Iran, embrace the very regime that were part and parcel responsible for over the last 50 years of death and destruction in Palestine and Lebanon, Syria, Iraq. And of course, Yemen, which is an ongoing war, which no one wishes to talk about.
Jesse Zerowell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Let's take advantage of the freedoms that we have while we have them to advance the kingdom's objective, to be salt and light.
Freedom is hard. Election security involves you, involves the voters.
This election for people of faith is vital that we see a change, because the war against Christians is at an all-time high.
Transparency is the key not only to having honest elections, but to maintaining public trust in those elections.
Our ability to vote is not being withheld from us. No one's trying to stop you from voting.
The one place the American people can have a say is at the ballot box. That's why the Democrats and the far left are working so hard to get rid of all election integrity.
We cannot let our elections be anything but transparent. It is at the very heart of freedom in a free society.
And if we lose America, I mean, it's all over because the world has looked to America for hope.
Free and fair at salemnow.com.
TNT Radio wants to hear from you. Call Brian, Dan, and Lynn now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I'm petrified for my country. This is Third World Tactics right now. Trump attorney Alina Habba after Trump indictment. Joining us now is Lionel. He's been a lawyer for 40 years. He's a former prosecutor, a legal and media analyst. His website is lionelmedia.com and Twitter, Lionel Media. And he has two YouTube channels, Lionel Nation and Lionel Legal. Welcome, Lionel, to State of the Nation.
Thank you. Can I dive in? Because we have a lot to cover and a lot I hope that we can clarify once and for all. And by the way, let's hear it for the DGAF party, which is alive and well, unfortunately. Number one, could I clarify a few things? Michael Cohen is not a fixer. Michael Cohen has been called a fixer. Think of Harvey Keitel in Pulp Fiction. Michael Cohen has the operational IQ of a dart, and he is basically an in-house lawyer who would do things at cut rate or prices for President Trump. If you were to send out legal instructions to big law firms, by the time he got off the phone, he's hit $2,000. So Michael Cohen was kind of like an in-house person to do corporations and draft a letter. He's not this fixer. Number two, this is not hush money. Hush money is not against the law. Hush money has never been against the law. We have things in this country called a non-disclosure agreement, an NDA. There's a wonderful meme going around of Bill Clinton looking worried when he finds out that an ex-president can be indicted for paying off someone to keep their mouth shut about sex. That's not what this is about. This is a little bit more complicated. This specifically says that through a Rube Goldberg kind of contraption prosecution theory, two things happened. Number one, there were falsified business records that President Trump knew about, directed, and that those falsified business records were intended to hide a crime. And that crime was basically paying off Dusty Saddles or Stormy Daniels or whatever name she goes by this week, paying her off, which is not against the law. It was the way they calculated that. Was that an in-kind contribution? Was that really something that benefited the election efforts of President Trump? Because after all, does it not help him to hide this information from the public? He could also claim he did it to protect his wife. And that's a different story. So right off the bat, let's make sure we know what we're talking about. He is being charged, never before, with basically a misdemeanor that's kind of juiced up and blasted with some steroids to turn it into a felony, which could very well be successful. Let me say this now. Let me make sure everybody understands this. Don't think that somehow there is absolutely nothing to this case. Oh, there's something. The question is there enough? You ran a clip before of Alan Dershowitz, who is enjoying Alan Dershowitz. What's the expression? If never get in the middle of between Alan Dershowitz and a microphone. He's a wonderful and a very spirited commentator, and he's wonderful, but something tells me that they have thought through the statute of limitations issue prior to this. Do you folks have any idea of how much help Alvin Bragg most probably received from every legal scholar in the country, in Washington? But listen, and please, I don't mean to hog this. If you have a question, interrupt me, because I think the issue that is the most important, and if I represented the president, I would just go right to this. I wouldn't ask Stormy Daniels a question. Nothing. I don't care about her. Get off the stand. I would call a gentleman by the name of Stephen Ryan. Stephen Ryan was a lawyer representing Michael Cohen. And in 2018, Stephen Ryan, an estimable Washington lawyer, sent a letter to the Federal Election Commission, the FEC. And if I could paraphrase this one little paragraph, it reads as follows. In a private transaction in 2016, before the U.S. presidential election, Mr. Cohen, the fixer, used, quote, his own personal funds to facilitate a payment of $130,000 to Ms. Stephanie Clifford. Listen to this. Neither the Trump Organization nor the Trump campaign was a party to the transaction with Ms. Clifford, and neither reimbursed Mr. Cohen for the payment directly or indirectly. Now, this directly impeaches the testimony of the star witness, who, by the way, to be fair, would say, now, wait a minute, I was lying, and that's why I pled guilty to lying, but here's the canceled checks and blah, blah, blah. So right off the bat, think about this. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, now I'm doing the final closing argument. In order for you to find President Trump, and by the way, they're going to argue whether to call him President Trump, Mr. Trump. There's going to be a motion in limine, as they say, a pretrial motion to determine that. But in order for you to find President Trump guilty, you have to say that there is no reasonable doubt that you have as to anything of importance. Mr. Cohen has lied on so many occasions to so many people on so many issues, both of them involving his lawyers. So you're going to have to ask yourself this question. And listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. If you want to believe Michael Cohen in order to find the president guilty, beyond a reasonable doubt, which lie do you want? Which lie would you listen to? And how do you know he's not lying? He said 12 different things on 12 different occasions, and yet this district attorney wants you to believe, exclude 11 of those, but only pay attention to this particular story. Here's where he's telling the truth.
Now, Lionel, we want you to hold your thought. Please hold your thought. We have to grab a quick headline, hold your thought, and we're going to come back. We want to hear all about this.
Now, big news, TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Former President Trump has a court date. A law enforcement source told Fox News that arraignment is expected Tuesday, with Donald Trump due at state Supreme Court in New York after being indicted on charges that remain sealed for now. Italy's data protection watchdog has banned access to OpenAI's ChatGPT chatbot due to alleged privacy violations. The decision came after a data breach on March 20th that exposed users' conversations and payment information.
We wear the PPE and wade through the muck so you don't have to. Never miss our thought-provoking take on the latest news and current affairs. Take TNT Radio wherever you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
All right. Welcome back to State of the Nation. So, Lionel, you were in the middle of saying, but let me insert something that you might be able Please. To answer in your follow-up here, because what I'm hearing thus far verifies what my research has shown, and that the case against the president is being brought against him on the testimony of a known perjurer and a prawn star. So, I'm curious, why is there not legal action against the prawn star and the known perjurer for extorting former President Trump?
Well, to give you the legal answer, I would suggest that there's no extortion. This is done all the time. People will say in order, non-disclosure agreements are provided constantly. Let me also tell you that, and again, I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm speaking to you as a lawyer. This is not a political partisan argument. What I feel politically about President Trump is irrelevant at this point. But as you know, the federal government years ago got Al Capone on income tax evasion or tax problem. And they applauded that. They said, this was brilliant. Al Capone said, on the other hand, wait a minute, this doesn't matter. We don't like Al Capone. John Gotti was sentenced to for life in prison on the word of Sammy the Bull Gravano, who killed, what, 19 people, 20 people? This is done all the time. Whenever somebody flips a confidential informant, and what the government does is they will tell, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you're going to hear testimony from some pretty unsavory people. But you've got to remember something, and this is what they always say. In order to convict the devil, whom do you call as witnesses? Saints? Good people? No, demons. So this is what happens. Now, I disagree with the Honorable Mr. Dershowitz, because if we had, if lawyers lost their bar card every time they put on a witness who was lying, I mean, not deliberately where you know they're lying, where you've suborned perjury, but my God, you know how many times cops lie? We'd have perjury court 24 hours a day. But here is the thing. Either way, can I tell you the greatest strategy that took place? Now, this is even more interesting. President Trump, say what you want, and this is now more of a political psychological analysis. I think he loves this and hates this, but he loves this. And my friends, you're going to be talking about this from now until the end of of humankind, because people can't get enough of this. So long, Nashville shooting. So long, Russia and Ukraine. Good luck trying to squeeze in a headline now that this has happened. But understand what happened. President Trump is so smart that they told him, listen, they're going to indict you, guaranteed. And I must say something parenthetically. Grand juries are always secret. And the reason why is simply this. The grand jurors don't want you to know who they are. They don't want you to know when they're meeting. And witnesses who are appearing who could risk their lives don't want you to know. Grand juries are so secret, it's not even funny. This is the most well-known grand jury ever. We know when they're meeting, where they go. They're going through this door. Oh, there's a grand juror. This is the most open-aired grand jury ever. So what Trump did was he said, by the way, I know they're going to arrest me Tuesday. Alvin Bragg said, what? Tuesday? What the hell is he talking about Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday. And you're going to have to show the handcuffs. And they turn to Bragg and they say, well, is it going to be Tuesday? He said, no, we're not even done. You're not even done? What about Tuesday? We never said Tuesday. He said Tuesday. Okay, so you know what Bragg did was he said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to suspend, interrupt, postpone the grand jury for a month. Oh, you must have nothing. Yeah, I guess so. And then lo and behold, when everybody thought it was over with, they said, aha, booga booga, surprise, indictment. So it was this chess playing back and forth. And believe me, if you're a and by the way, I walked by Trump Tower just this afternoon, and nobody was there. This was supposedly when the news was saying that there's going to be mayhem in the street. Now, what happens when he's done with this, and this is the bad news, for you Trump acolytes out there, and by the way, there's a lot about this president I admire. Sometimes he does things that frankly make me question his sanity, but I think he was one of the greatest presidents in my lifetime. They just never let him finish the job. After he's done with this, there are five, count them, five additional separate legal actions, criminal and civil, that he's going to have to address. Some very serious, some not so serious, some criminal, where jail is theoretically the option, some civil, where it's just money damages. So he is going to be wrapped up in this process, case after case after case. Now, the question you have to ask is, will this help him politically? Because there is this trope, this meme that's being created that somehow this is going to endear him to the rest of the world. They're going to say, look at him. He's so this avalanche of unfairness. By God, I love this man. I'm going to vote for him. Now, I don't know why this is going to make people want to vote for him, people who are undecided and weren't going to vote in the first place, but that's a political question. After he's done with this, we got the Mar-a-Lago case. And friends, this is serious because they're not going after him because of supposed confidential or classified documents. You don't even have to have classified documents. They're going after him for, quote, obstruction of justice, that he might have done something to gum up the investigative process. And then you've got others as well. So while this may, you know, suck all the oxygen out of the room, this case, this is just the beginning.
So they're going to just basically throw everything at the wall over the next couple of years here and see if anything sticks. So this could essentially, it seems like such a ridiculous case, but it could be like the conductor tapping the stick on the on the music sheet. Yes. Right now, you know, like we'll start with this one. It has no legs, but then we'll go for 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Well, let me tell you something. And again, we're trying to it's like we're standing outside the stadium, listening to the crowd and trying to guess the score. So it's very difficult. We're not privy to a lot of this. So the guesswork is there. But Alvin Bragg, did you know of him before? No. The New York DA, we had Giuliani.
Cyrus Vance. Yeah.
Cyrus Vance was his predecessor, and these were people, Thomas Dewey, and oh my God, this has been where the greats are. Now let me also throw in one if we have time, because there's a couple of cases that are really important and really serious. You still have that Georgia case, the Stop the Steal case, where he supposedly, they're going to allege that he picked up the phone and said, hey, you better, you know, stop this and interfere, and that may seem flimsy, but there, believe me, there's more to it. But the case that bothers me the most, politically and also just the subject matter, is a case involving a sexual assault case in federal civil court, completely different from this, federal, a woman named E. Jean Carroll, who claims that he sexually abused her. And two things are going to happen. Number one, you're going to hear the Access Hollywood tapes, where Trump is going to be at his crudest, boorish, most locker room, so they say. I've never heard this. That's number one. And number two, they're going to Weinstein him by bringing in two women who say, yeah, he did the same thing to me. And there is nothing to me more despicable than you going to court. And let's say we have Hesher, we have Ruckus, and we can say, you know what, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I've got nothing on Hesh here, nothing. You're right about that. However, 5 years before that, these other people that are not subject to this, who never brought criminal charges that you've never heard of, they're going to come in and they're going to say, you know what, he did the same thing to me. And then this other person is going to come in and say, funny you say that, he did the same thing to me. And the jury is going to go back and say, you know what? If those two people said Hesher did something, he probably did. This blows my mind. This is what they did to Harvey Weinstein. But because Harvey Weinstein wasn't very attractive, because Harvey Weinstein did some horrible things, I mean, they just figured, let's just go for broke. And what we have to understand in our system, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought, and then we have to let you go.
Oh no, no. I'm just saying. So keep in mind. This is just one of many cases. Do not be surprised if this case is disposed of in a pretrial motion to dismiss for a variety of reasons. But Alvin Bragg has done the job. And by the way, if this thing is thrown out because of statute of limitations, he's going to have to explain to his constituency, why the hell did you wait so long? What new information do you have now that you didn't have last year when you could have brought this? And there you have it.
Well, the story to be continued. Thank you, Lionel. LionelMedia.com on Twitter @LionelMedia. This is today's News Talk TNT Radio.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Is it time to put transsexuals on FBI lists of potential domestic terrorists? The Colorado Springs shooter identified as non-binary, and the Denver, Aberdeen, and Nashville shooters all identified as trans. Transvestites wearing satanic garb overtook the Kentucky capital of Frankfort today. And in Nashville, there was a transurrection as commie-crat trans activists occupied the state capitol, forcing state troopers to form cordons so that lawmakers could get to the restrooms. Indeed, lawmakers in Nashville on M30 were at far graver risk of physical danger than lawmakers in D.C. on J6. Don't hold your breath for these insurrectionists to ever be brought to justice, however. Just like Code Pink never suffered any penalty for occupying the Capitol in D.C. during the summer of 2020. The left is nothing if not consistent in its application of the double standard, rules for thee, but not for we. This needs to change. America needs to be brought back to the equal justice under law standard. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
For so many reasons, access to health care remains an enormous challenge for millions of children around the country. Imagine trying to manage a child's asthma while living in an urban homeless shelter, or growing up in a rural community where the nearest pediatrician is 3 hours away. Children's Health Fund has an innovative solution. A doctor's office on wheels that is actually a fully equipped mobile medical clinic. We go where kids need us most.
Visit childrenshealthfund.org to find out more.
A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
You're with Brian McLean, Dan Mitchell, and Lynn Shaw in State of the Nation on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, our next guest is a prominent gastroenterologist and CEO of the Genetic Sequencing Research Laboratory, Progena Biome. She's doing revolutionary work in finding ways to prevent and treat several illnesses, including COVID, through supporting gut health. She is a total expert on this topic, and she's a friend of the show. We've spoken with her before over here. I could go on and gush about your bio here, but I want to get right to it. We've got Dr. Sabine Hazan joining us here on State of the Nation. Dr. Hazan, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's wonderful to hear your voice again. I'm here with Lynn Shaw, and we noticed on your Twitter account, actually, one of our colleagues flagged this up, and I want to thank them for doing that. We saw on your Twitter account, you posted a video to TikTok, and you were talking about the discoveries that you've made when it comes to the gut biome and potential effects of the mRNA shots that so many people have taken. And it appears as though your video was taken down, and it was simply showing your research. I'm sure both Lynn and I have some questions about this, but why don't you kick us off right there? Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so basically, I did a video for Epoch Time, a documentary, almost like a documentary. And essentially, they were asking me questions about, my involvement in during the pandemic, from, my clinical trials on hydroxychloroquine to my clinical trials with ivermectin, to my microbiome work, finding COVID in the stools, and then discovering this bacteria called bifidobacteria that was absent in severe patients, and then how this bifidobacteria is increased with vitamin C, and how we discovered that also it decreases with vaccination. Right. So in four patients that we saw, 34 patients where there was a change in the microbiome post vaccination. But not only that, we also saw persistence in four patients of drop in the bifidobacteria, but not only in the bifidobacteria, in certain other microbes. So with this, there was an interest by people, and all of a sudden that video showed up on TikTok. I'm not really on TikTok. I had before that video, I had probably 10, 20, followers, mainly because I just, it was a fun thing to do with my niece, and watch my kids on TikTok. And then all of a sudden someone said, oh, I saw you on TikTok and there was a video that was going viral. I'm not even sure. I tried to reach the guy who posted it, but I didn't get any response. I think it was probably a troll effect to try to get this video going crazy and probably, you know, not defame me, but probably destroy me or something, because, you know, there's so many trolls out there in the social media world, and TikTok is the land of the social media trolls. So anyways, that video went, you know, backfired in a way, because it got 34,000 retweets and 22,000 comments, and all of them were good. There was no real bad comments on it, and there was about 1 million views. And at midnight, that video went down. It was no longer on. So I said to myself, well, what's weird? Why would someone pull down? First of all, I couldn't even reach the guy. So I, by some fluke, I downloaded the video, right? And I posted it on my TikTok account. And by that point, by the way, my TikTok started going up to like 700 followers from that, you know, that tweet initially that went up to 1 million. And so I decided, you know what? I downloaded it. Let me repost it. So I reposted it, and nobody was watching it. In other words, I was shadow banned. And then within probably about 6 hours, it said video under review. And I said, under review by who? Who is going to be criticizing me on the microbiome? I'm leading the space, right? Mm-hmm. And then the next thing is it completely got blocked and removed. And it said, and I'm going to quote it, removed for integrity and authenticity. And if you've seen the video, you see, I barely have any makeup in it. Definitely don't have any Botox. So, you know, authenticity, I'm pretty sure I'm authentic. And integrity, I'm the physician leading the microbiome research, okay?
It's your study. Now, it's your account. It's your face. It's your study. It's your voice. You're extremely well-known. You're the leader in this industry. How can they even say that, authenticity?
And the whole time I'm like going, wait a minute. Me as a physician that has saved everyone and lost no one during the pandemic, my video is removed for integrity and authenticity. But meanwhile, and believe me, I love Suzanne Summers, but Suzanne Summers allowed to talk about a gut health powder? Come on. Chrissy Snow is giving advice to patients, and she's not even a physician, on Three's Company. Let's get real here.
Yeah, and she also claims she cured her cancer with some sort of homeopathic remedies as well.
And
I don't know.
That's great. She's not a physician. She's not a scientist.
Right.
She's giving advice to patients on a powder that has no data, no clinical trials. Okay, and her video is still on. And let's talk about all the other celebrities that are out there talking about their cream that's rejuvenating them. Are they dermatologists? Why are they giving advice? The dermatologist doesn't talk about the cream. Why are we in a world where these celebrities, because they play doctor on TV, does not make them doctors? Why are they giving advice to the public? And their video is up, and me, as a scientist doing the clinical trials and the clinical research, my voice is shut down. I could be as charismatic as all these celebrities.
More so.
Well, more so. You're the actual doctor. Dr. Hazan, I just want to ask you a question. Where are all your fellow doctors? You know, I watched this all during, you know, the pandemic. I know people were shut down and censored, but how about if everybody got together, banded together, a huge group of you, and said no more? Because these celebrities, these influencers, they're giving out medical information. We know a lot of teenagers especially are following, you know, if they see a celebrity, an influencer, whatever they're telling them to use, and it's very dangerous. So where are all your fellow doctors coming together to say this cannot be? Because I don't see that.
Well, I told all my fellow doctors it's time they take the stage. I told them, get yourself a PR person. Get yourself out there. Because unfortunately, you know, it's difficult to be out there. It's difficult to you know, so on one hand, there's two groups of those doctors. The doctors that is working for these hospital doesn't want to really shake his boat because he has, you know, he's got his mortgages to pay. He's got his mortgage to pay. He's got his tuition to pay. You know, to finish a medical school degree these days, it's $500,000. It's, you know, $500,000 up to $1 million, you know, to get that medical degree, you know, just undergraduate right now. You know, my daughter's going to Tulane. It's going to cost me about $400,000 of tuition, right? So you, when you think about undergraduate is $400,000 and then you add a medical degree, that's another $400,000. That's $1 million, right? That somebody's taking to become a physician, right? So they come out of this medical field out of school with all these loans and they're saying, okay, it's time to make money. They don't want to really rock the boat and challenge the HMO they're working for or the hospital they're working for because they've got, you know, expenses. So that's one group of the doctors. The other group is the doctors that are basically paid by pharma to support pharmaceutical drugs. And then the other group are the doctors that are like me, the, you know, private. And I think you've seen them. You've seen them on the pandemic, you know, the Molly James and the Peter McCullough and the Pierre Corey and the Paul Merrick. And actually, Paul Merrick and Pierre Corey, you know, were academics. You know, they were in a hospital setting and they got let go and now they're on their own. I hope that we are role models to other doctors to say, hey, you know what? Stop talking about the fact that you're complaining that you're making X amount from insurance and the insurance doesn't pay you for 6 months. You know, start talking, start doing something about it. You know, instead of killing yourself or increasing the rate of suicide, because we've seen the rate of suicide in physician is extremely high. The pressure is tremendous. You're dealing with sick patients. You're dealing with the hospital on your back. You're dealing with the Department of Health on your back. You're dealing with, you know, government agencies for some of us that are working in clinical trials. You know, the pressures are intense. And then on top of that, you come home, you've got the stressors of your family, your stressors of your health payments, your loan payments. So you could see a lot of physicians, the tremendous amount of pressure. If you add on top of that, you know, they're speaking and they're being, you know, their voice is censored. Not many physicians have the same, and I want to say training. You know, I didn't get to be like this. You know, I had a training. You know, I was pushed to be like this. You know, I had a bunch of roadblocks to be a physician, to be a woman physician in the front line, to be, you know, heard. So I think with all the roadblocks, the reprimands, the whatever happens to you during your career in medicine, you have two choices. You could either, you know, fight and have a voice, or you can settle and be quiet. And I think a lot of physicians have settled to be and been quiet too long. But I think it's coming. I
think so too. I'll let Lynn have the final question here. We only got a couple of minutes left, but I would like to point out that you were the first woman ever accepted into the University of Florida as a clinical gastroenterology fellow. So you have been at the forefront of this for a long time, and I'm sure there's a whole really interesting story behind that struggle that got you there. But I want to thank you for everything you do and being such a strong voice for medical freedom, and I'll yield to Lynn to get us out of here.
And Dr. Hazan, I want to say to you, there's a lot in the news lately about Wegovy, Ozempic, and I was reading up all about you and how people where you had a proven, you know, treatment during COVID, but they were scared for their lives. They wouldn't even try anything. They were just paralyzed. And yet women are buying this and teenage girls online. Everybody's using it. There's a lot of side effects, but nobody's questioning that. So I just find it so hypocritical. What's the difference? Because we had this pandemic. We were told we were going to drop dead in the streets and things like that. Yet they'll go for this because they think they can lose 10 or 20 pounds automatically. What are your thoughts?
And again, you know, that's where, you know, everybody wants that magic pill, right? That fixes it, that magic pill for everyone. And unfortunately, there's no magic pill for everyone. I think what we've discovered from COVID is, you know, you treat everybody individually and it's precision medicine and it's the art of medicine. I'm concerned about those drugs, you know. To me, you know, yes, there's probably a quick way to doing it, but look at how many times we've done quick ways in the past with all these, you know, drugs of the past for weight loss and people drop dead, right? So unfortunately, this is what happens. There's a big PR, every drug, there's a big PR marketing. They push, they sell a ton of money of the drugs and then side effects occur. People drop dead. The drug gets removed from the market. But meanwhile, they've made a quick buck. And I think that's what these companies have learned to do. And that's what they're doing.
PR, bottom line, always follow that. Yeah, bottom line, always follow the dollar. Thank you, Dr. Sabine Hazan. We'll have you back again soon on Twitter. Sabine Hazan, H-A-Z-A-N, M-D. Follow her, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is today's News Talk, TNT Radio.